Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
AJ Preller finally landed his white whale.
Yeah, yeah, he did. we said it last week. We kind of knew it was coming, you know? Kind of had the feeling that once Yrjusson Profar was made available for a trade, that AJ Preller was going to pounce. All right, and he did. And welcome to San Diego, Yrjusson Profar.
I hope AJ knows what he's thinking here.
I know.
The rest of baseball has decided that Yrjusson Profar was an incredible prospect that just never really panned out.
Yep.
And is at best an average infielder in Major League Baseball, and sometimes not even quite up to the average level. But AJ Preller clearly has always seen something in this kid. He signed him out of Curaçao when he was the assistant general manager of the Texas Rangers. Watched him become the number one prospect in all of baseball. I think that was back in 2013, and then struggle as he dealt with some injuries, tried to get up to the big leagues, just never reached that full potential with the Texas Rangers. Eventually ended up with the A's last year. AJ tried to trade for Profar, I think a couple of times, and the Rangers would never give him up, at least not to AJ. They didn't want to give him up to AJ, but the A's were a little less protective.
Which is weird,
Profar,
because they're in the same division.
Yeah.
You know, in the same league and in the same division. I saw the trade come down. I was not shocked at all. Again, we've talked about it. We talked to A.J. Cassville. He was one of two names I mentioned to A.J. Cassville, Yrjusson Profar, Whit Merrifield, right? Whit Merrifield's a guy that I really, really like. I think a lot of guys do. Profar was a guy that I said, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, if we got Yrjusson Profar, that'd be cool as long as we don't give up too much. And I kind of felt like a jerk yesterday. I kind of sent a jerky tweet, and I didn't mean it to come off as jerky. Ben, did you see my initial tweet when it came out? My first one was, I'm really interested to hear the return for Profar, because I was. Because in my mind, I'm like, oh, God, Patino. Something just over the top. And then when I found out it was Austin Allen and a player to be named later, I tweeted, good trade, didn't give up much at all. Welcome to San Diego, Yrjusson Profar. I don't mean that about Austin Allen. I don't mean we didn't give up much. Austin Allen's a pretty good prospect. And by the way, you ever see guys and you look at it and you go, oh, yeah, he's an A, or he's a Cardinal, or, oh, that guy's a Padre. Like, they have a look. Austin Allen's an A. He looks like an A. I think he's going to fit in great there. He's not going to have a shot here. So when I mean we didn't give up much at all, we didn't give up, from a place of a shortage.
Right. The Padres didn't give up something that was going to be a part of their future.
Correct.
On their roster. Now,
that's what I meant. Not personally against Austin Allen.
You can make the argument that as, you know, at the level of prospect that he was, that you might have been able to get more for Austin Allen if you were going to include him in a deal. But I think it was a pretty fair trade.
Yeah.
Yrjusson Profar was at least being talked about as a possible guy that the A's weren't even going to bring back next year, so they wanted to get something for him. Padres, obviously, you know, AJ Preller was just too much of a prize dangling out there for him not to at least send something up Oakland's way. Now, I looked at the numbers for Profar, and, they're not going to blow you out of the water. He does have 20 home runs each of the past two seasons, which for a second baseman, I don't know that Luis Urias was ever going to get to the 20 home run level in the major leagues based on what I had seen from him so far. The average has been floating between about 230-something and 210-something the last couple of years. He does have pretty good plate discipline. He's not going to be swinging wildly away. He's not going to strike out. Well, I mean, everyone strikes out a bunch in baseball now, but he's certainly not going to be one of the league leaders in strikeouts. So, something the Padres have been looking for, guys who are a little more selective at the plate, you know, going to make the pitchers work a little bit harder, not just going to roll out, roll down at the first thing they see, or, you know, take three big cuts and walk back to the dugout. So that's something. He also fares better against left-handed pitchers from the right side. He's a switch hitter, but fares better against lefties. You brought back Greg Garcia yesterday on another one-year deal. So, you know, he did fairly well against righties last year. To me, this move means that no matter what happens the rest of the offseason at second base, and maybe the Padres do find someone else and they're still looking, but if they don't do anything else, they, at the very least, they should be okay for a season at second base while they wait for some of their more intriguing prospects like C.J. Abrams to work their way up to the minor leagues, or Xavier Edwards to make it to the big leagues. They seem like they should be okay. It's not a position that you're going to be a guy, oh, my God, the second base, it's just terrible, terrible this year. It should be fine. And that's probably the ceiling as well, is fine at second base for the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's now, I don't know what their plans are with Ty France. I know there was, I know they tried him in the minors at second base. I don't know how well that went. But now if you looked at it, if you consider him a second baseman, obviously he's not going to play third unless Manny gets hurt. So you're looking at a Padre team right now with four second basemen. When you have Yrieksen Profar, you've got Greg Garcia. Again, you brought him back on a one-year deal, $1.5 million yesterday. Good for him. Friggin' great guy. Local kid, you know that. You've got Ian Kinsler, the second year of his deal. And you've got Ty France. You've got four second basemen right now. And you've got Esteban Quiroz. They call him Pony. And you've got Abrams. And then you've got Owen Miller, I believe, as well.
Yep.
So
and Xavier Edwards.
And Xavier Edwards, so really deep, I think, at
and Gabriel Arias, too. They have a lot of
middle
guys.
Infield help.
Middle infield, especially second base prospects of the future. Ian Kinsler, to me, at the very most, is going to be a pinch hitter. You know, at the start of the season, maybe let him get that 2,000th hit. He's sitting at 1,999 for his career. A little veteran presence. I don't see him finishing the season with the Padres. I'm not even sure he'll start the season with the Padres. He's under contract. It seems clear they're going to let him at least make it to spring training.
But everything we hear is that they love the guy. They love the guy.
They do. Want to make him like a coach at some point, yeah, maybe in the organization. Stay on his good side, keep that building that relationship.
Yep.
Obviously, he didn't endear himself to fans last year, but that's a totally different relationship. A clubhouse guy versus how fans perceive you is not always the same. And if they like him, but he's not going to be out there playing second base over Profar and Garcia, in my mind.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And again, look, there were some defensive struggles last year that got me little bit concerned. Saw a lot of lowlights, I guess you could call them, going around. Some problems with the throw from second base. I'm not mad at the move at all because of, you know, they didn't give up much. Again, it seems to be, hey, let's see how your guy does here and our guy does there. And, you know, we'll see in a year who won that trade. Profar had a bounce back season in 2018 and actually people were like, okay, he's figured it out. Well, then last year came and it was terrible. But we're going to be talking to Jessica Kleinschmidt from NBC Sports the Bay Area. She covers the A's and the Giants. Her heart's with the A's, trust me. And she'll know everything there is to know about Yrieksen Profar.
We already know about A.J. Preller's kind of obsession with Yrieksen Profar. I do think it's interesting, though, that one of the first moves of the Jace Tingler era is to bring him back in. Because Tingler, of course, spent years on that Texas Rangers staff in various capacities, where presumably he worked pretty close with Yrieksen Profar at times and should know that guy inside and out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure they talked and AJ got the latest. Hey, you know, you were just with him a little over a season ago in his last year in Texas. What do you think? Is this someone you want on your team? I got to imagine Tingler gave the thumbs up before AJ pulled this deal as well, that they're on the same page about you know, potential second baseman for this year.
Well, and it's funny because, you mentioned at one point he was the number one prospect in baseball. And I know the Rangers would not give him up for anyone. I mean, he was the first ask for anybody wanting to deal with the Texas Rangers, and they never would let him go.
They could have gotten so much
Benny,
for him.
I think I've used him as the example for prospect hugging that sometimes it doesn't go your way. You know, it just doesn't go your way, and you hug a prospect a little bit too long, and this happens. Again, I don't really look at him as a reclamation project at all. I look at him, like you said, a stopgap guy that's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. They already signed him to a one-year deal, $5.7 million, which, you know, seems like a lot, but then again, it's...
By the way, that just a few more million onto the payroll next year, which is now hovering in the mid-$140 millions projected for the start of the season, would be by far the highest ever in Padres franchise history. You can argue you don't love how that money is allocated and the players they're giving it to, but it's hard to complain about at least the effort to try to put together, you know, a competitive payroll and roster on the major league level this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's, again, I hate to worry about their payroll because it's not my money. It's not our money. But I think we've been told enough. Yes, we want to be around the league average payroll, which would be kind of where they are right now. Now, still many moves to be made, hopefully. But I think the general consensus was the Trent Grisham, the Davies, and the Profar, none of them have felt really splashy yet. Solid. I think everyone's like, oh, okay, good, solid C+.
But keep in mind, we're still very early
it's
in the offseason.
Early.
We're not even to the winter meetings yet.
Correct.
Of course, we're going to be out there live Monday through Thursday next week. We made the announcement yesterday. We're going to be on from 6 to 10 a.m. so we can give you continuous live coverage here on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by your San Diego County Honda dealers next week from the winter meetings here in San Diego. Many years, you don't hear about any moves until at the winter meetings or after the winter meetings.
Yep.
The Padres have already signed a free agent, pulled off a trade with the Brewers, pulled off a trade with the A's, and you're just ramping up into what should be the busy time of the offseason. Looks like they're clearly going to be very, very, very active, as everyone expected them to be this offseason, in remaking this roster, you know, avoid the heads rolling, AJ's last stand, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
He's making an effort to try to remake this roster before the start of spring training.
Yeah, and again, none of them are blowing anybody's hair back, but hey, that's okay for now. It's a wait and see thing. I think we have improved a little bit. A little bit. I think there has been improvement. And I guess at this point, Ben, you said it best when you kicked off this break. We just hope he knows what he's doing. You have to have faith, right? I mean, if you have faith in AJ Preller, you're not worried at all. If you're skeptical, then yeah, you're worried.
As you mentioned, we will talk to Jessica Kleinschmidt in our 8 o'clock hour, 8:35. Get a little more on Yerickson Profar and what he did for the A's last year. We'll get into some of the other moves the Padres made yesterday as well. Coming up next, though. Big game last night for San Diego State's Rashad Penny. It was an exciting Monday Night Football game, but I felt bad for our buddy, play-by-play announcer Kevin Harlan, who had the call last night here on 97.3 The Fan, the national radio call. Rough night for Kevin Harlan.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
We'll get into that coming up. It's Ben and Woods. Glad to have you with us here on a Tuesday morning. Let's get our first check of traffic today on 97.3 The Fan and say good morning to Suda Vinson.
We're back. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Woods today.
Hi, Woods today.
Hi, Woods today.
What the F? What is happening right now?
Sending a text.
I can sit and listen to this song all day. It's one of
my favorites. I know you like to jam out.
I do like to jam out. But I think our boss would have been nervous. We just started playing music in the morning. Do you think he'd care? Like, so the holidays are coming up, right? I'm going to be working one day without you. You'll be working a couple without me. I wonder if he'd let me just play music.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. I think our listeners would be disappointed, not our boss.
I think they want to hear you.
Yeah.
What if I did both? Like a hybrid show. Sports, music, life. Be great. Play a couple of choice nugs that I liked. No? Ask for forgiveness,
it's
right?
It's your show,
it
I
is
guess.
My
if
show.
I'm not here, I can't really stop you
exactly
so
right.
much. But
exactly right.
But while I'm here...
You'd warn against it?
We are going to talk some sports.
All right, let's do it.
Including Monday Night Football last night. Wild game, back and forth. I mean, Vikings, Seahawks, Vikings, right until the very end. A good wrap-up to Week 13 of the NFL season last night in Seattle. Good atmosphere.
Yeah, man.
Always seems to be. Primetime games in Seattle always seem to really... kind of just jazz everyone up, and it's fun to see Rashad Penny. After struggling so badly his rookie year, battling injuries, looking like he was buried behind Chris Carson on the depth chart, the last couple of weeks, he's gotten an opportunity, and he has just made the most of it. Had over 100 yards from scrimmage last night, couple of big touchdowns in the second half, tied things up with one score at 17. Had another really grand screen pass, just kind of broke through for like a 20-plus yard touchdown later in the game. It's fun to see a guy from San Diego State who we all were so excited about when he got drafted in the first round and thinking, okay, this guy could be a huge star in the NFL, and then, oh, it was just, you know, nothing went right for him.
No, it didn't.
At the beginning of his career.
When we would do interviews with people in Seattle, and we had our buddy Softy Mahler on, I mean, we would have him on a year ago, and he'd be like, I don't know why this kid's on the team. You got to get him out of there. He's taking up a roster spot. I mean, and that's to see him come into his own these last couple of weeks, he's running with a little bit of fury behind him. He looks like, hey, I belong. I'm going to prove that I belong. He's taking massive points away from me fantasy-wise, as I have Chris Carson. But I was happy to see him, you know, bowl his way into the end zone last night. And again, you look at that team now and you're like, that's just one more piece for Russell Wilson, who, what can you say, man? Russell Wilson continues to get the job done. I mean, he just, now last night, some easy throws, a lot of busted coverage for both teams. I saw a lot of wide open, you know, 65-yard touchdown passes, which, by the way, very fun. Very fun to see.
Are you a believer in momentum?
Yes, big time.
You are, because last night everyone was talking about the momentum of the game. The Vikings seemed to have all of it early, then the Seahawks grabbed it, and it looked like they were going to win by 30, and then the Vikings grabbed it back at the end of the game, and you know, nearly, I mean, they had the ball down, what, four late. They had an opportunity to steal that one at the end, and I know there's some people who just, you know, just can't. I mean, momentum is everything in sports. So you got to grab it, you hold on to it, you ride that wave right to victory. And others just laugh and say, "There's momentum is no more important than what you do on your next play. Because if you make a mistake, you throw an interception, it's all gone. And you don't, it's, I mean, and then you could flip right then the following play."
Yeah, that's momentum, though. I mean, it's momentum is, it's not fluid. I mean, it can be snatched back. You'll see a big fumble. You'll see an interception, a tipped pass, run back for a pick six. Momentum was swinging like crazy last night in that game. And that was a really entertaining Monday night football game. I'll give them that. I was in and out. But when I did watch it, I'm like, Jesus, this is friggin' action-packed.
So I felt bad for Kevin Harlan, who just phenomenal national voice.
One of the best.
On television and radio of the NFL. He is one of the best. Now, Thomas has a highlight or two. I think he got a Rashad Penny touchdown, I heard. Sounds pretty good, actually, on this call. But I promise you, I was listening during the game, and there was a couple of moments where he was almost just done. And, hey, it's December, it's cold and flu season, you just start losing the voice, and it gets rough. But, you know, he sounded pretty good on this call for the Rashad Penny touchdown.
The running back, Rashad Penny, got the snap.
Oh, you can hear it. Yeah, you
right,
hear it.
No, then spins left, screen pass, Penny, 15, got a block at the 10, inside the number to 5, breaks a tackle, into the end zone, touchdown Seattle! Rashad Penny, 13-yard touchdown catch and run, and the Seahawks have blown this baby open! 33-17 early in the fourth.
I mean, most of us wish we could sound that good. You can tell with Kevin Harlan, though, that there was a hollowness. He just didn't have his whole pipes last night.
Talk about giving it 1,000% anyway. My God, like, that's a hard gig. This right here is a hard gig if you are not feeling well.
What's the sickest you can ever remember working?
Dude, it's our first week on the air together.
Did, yeah.
I mean, I couldn't. We had just started the show. Just started. I mean, we started on a Tuesday or whatever, and I was deathly ill by Wednesday and had to take a day off by like Friday or something. It was horrible. And this job, every job sucks when you don't feel well. This job really sucks because I would just want to sit here. And I mean, I've thrown up in the studio before. That's been a fun bit, you know, trying to get through the flu. But the cold is worse. Having a cold is worse than having the flu.
I
for this gig.
You know, I once just had no one to back me up at Channel 10 a couple of years ago, and I came in sick just 2 days in a row. I found out later that I had walking pneumonia.
Good
and
God.
And I was actually trying to do television, which is both easier and harder than radio. On TV, you know, I can sit there and be as sick as a dog. And if I can rally myself for, you know, two and a half minutes, if put on a smile, like just get out there and do it. It's okay, but at the same time, they can see you. You can see how pale you look.
Yeah.
You know, you just look like you're hollow. Radio, yeah, you can hide a little bit because they don't have to see you, but it's show. I mean, you're on for 4 hours.
Yes.
And
lucky us,
you need energy, you need stamina to get through a show like that. When you're sick, there is just, it's so hard.
You know, especially huge.
Play-by-play, though.
Play-by-play, huge game like that. What did he have? He has a little cold?
He was talking to his analyst. I don't know if I'm going to make it. You know, it's like, you're going to make it. But you don't want to miss a big game like that. I mean, you know, they assign you to the big ones because you're the man.
Best, yeah.
You don't want to give it up. So I felt bad for Kevin Harlan last night during the game. But he made it to the end. And honestly, he's such a good broadcaster. Even Kevin Harlan at 70%.
Better than most, yeah.
Going to be way better than most. Did you see the dance, the Seahawks, the touchdown, the new edition celebration dance?
I think I missed that one, Benny.
It was very choreographed.
Well, that's what they do.
They do that.
Yeah, it's choreographing's fun.
How much time do you think they spend?
5 minutes after practice.
That's it?
Yeah.
It's not like hours?
I would guarantee you it's not hours. Okay. It's probably 5 to 10 minutes after practice. Hey, if somebody gets in, you know, we do this. This is what we're going to do. Those guys know what they're doing. They're athletes. They're very athletic. And I think a lot of people worry too much about
celebrations. I can see that being a bit at some point. Hey, why don't you practice a little bit more and rather than on your celebration?
Well,
on the actual, you know, game of football.
It's funny you mentioned that, Ben, because that happened to the Padres last year. Do you remember this?
Oh.
I think they had just gotten swept. And then they did the bit where they dressed up like something for the flight. They were going to, you know, hit the road, go on the road and play baseball games out of Petco Park. And they were all dressed up on the plane. And boy, get off my lawn guy, Mr. Boomer, was so mad about that. Like, hey, you just got swept. What business do you have getting on that plane and having fun? What business do you have, you know, in a long 162 game regular season, after getting swept, you guys should have your head down in a book about hitting. You should be reading Ted Williams' book about hitting. You should be watching Tom Emanski's videos about hitting and fielding, because fun is not allowed when you lose. I mean, it's the Moneyball thing. I love that scene in Moneyball, by the way. I love that scene. It's probably my favorite scene.
When Billy Bean goes into the clubhouse.
Yeah, and beats the crap out of the radio.
Yeah.
And Giambi's up there shaking his ass, and he says, Is losing fun? That's what losing sounds like. I love that scene. Now, it is a bit boomer. I'll give you that. But, I do think people get way too upset about celebrations by these players.
All right, we'll look a little ahead at the NFL playoff picture. What last night's game meant? It was pretty impactful in the NFC playoff picture yesterday. Impacts the Rams even. We'll get to that a little bit later. But up next, we're going to be joined by our NBA insider Tony Mejia, always one of the friends of the program. Lakers and Clippers both play tonight. You got the Milwaukee Bucks playing out of their mind. We'll get some of the top headlines in the NBA right now with Tony Mejia. That's coming up next with Bennett Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Look good this holiday season with Supercuts. Keep looking sharp all year long. Go to 97.3TheFanSD.com. Sign up to win a year's worth of Supercuts, courtesy of 97.3 The Fan and Supercuts San Diego. We got some Real or Fake coming up in a few minutes, I believe. Yes, we are giving away another $40 gift card to Hooters, so be ready to call in about 10 minutes for your chance to go up head-to-head against Woodsy on Real or Fake. Why are you smiling?
It makes me unbelievably happy when you have to say Hooters. It just makes me happy.
I'm glad that delights you.
It delights
me. I'm just glad it does.
I bet you are.
We're about to chat with Tony Mejia, a little NBA talk from VegasInsiders.com. First, though, let's get another check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here is Sue DeVinson.
This report is brought to you by the San Diego Zoo. Got a traffic break, guys, that continues for a bad multi-vehicle accident with injuries. West 94 at Lemon Avenue. Got one vehicle up the embankment, two on the right shoulder, another facing traffic after hitting the center divide. West 94 is the result, bumper to bumper from Bancroft. Also, northbound 125 stacked up from the 54. Meantime, elsewhere in the South Bay, watch for a vehicle stopped West 54 east of the 5. Number 3 lane is blocked. Traffic heavy behind that and on northbound 5 from J Street. Jungle Bell Bells at the San Diego Zoo featuring Aurora, a brand new multi-sensory show of sight and sound. It's performing December 13th through January 5th at the San Diego Zoo. Learn more at sandiegozoo.org. Sue DeVincent with Ben Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, it has been a pretty exciting start to the NBA season between the Lakers and the Clippers here in Southern California, between the topsy-turvy, the just complete destruction of the Golden State Warriors dynasty. I mean, they have gone from 100 miles an hour to the absolute basement of the NBA.
I saw something yesterday saying that their ratings are down 51%.
Why wouldn't they?
Who
is left? Who would you watch? The Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo are lighting it up. They've won 12 in a row. And joining us right now on 97.3 The Fan and Ben Woods, talk a little NBA from VegasInsiders.com. Good to have Tony Mejia back on the program. Tony, good morning to you.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing? Doing
great. You just must be in hoops heaven so far this season.
Yeah, basketball comes on, but football is still, I still have to deal with it. So it's almost like, and then the holidays, and you're bombarded. So it's, lots to do. Feast week for me means lots of food and lots of sports.
I know the Lakers got tripped up by the Dallas Mavericks in their last game. They've got another big one tonight. They're in Denver to take on the Nuggets. But the 17-3 start, should we be surprised at all that it hasn't taken a little longer for LeBron James and Anthony Davis to get on the same page, or are they just two such transcendent talents that this was inevitable that the Lakers would have success from the get-go?
Well, I think you should be pleasantly surprised that LeBron James took such offense to missing the playoffs last year and also got his body healthy that he's decided to really bring in on the defensive end to start the season, setting the tone for everybody else. And playing catalyst on that side of the ball. I think that's number one in why the Lakers have been so successful. And then he's been getting Anthony Davis the ball in his spots, playing point guard, leading the league in assists. So it's been a beautiful marriage thus far. And, they could be considerably better because Kyle Kuzma hasn't played well. Avery Bradley has been injured. And, they were leading the league in all defensive metrics when he was out there. Rajon Rondo wasn't out there when Bradley was. So there's still plenty of ceiling left.
We're talking to Tony Mejia from VegasInsider.com. And, Tony, there's a couple of teams as you look through the standings that kind of jump out at you. Miami Heat being one. Jimmy Butler, kind of much maligned. What's he done to get that team firing right now? They're in third place currently, 14-5, 8-0 at home. He's really been a huge, huge difference maker for them.
Yeah, he missed the beginning of the season, like the first few games, just because he had a daughter. But before, they were saying in his absence, that it was still him setting the tone of what they all experienced in training camp with making the extra pass and defending that has helped them get off to such a great start. So he came back. Justice Winslow went down for a concussion. He was out most of November, and now they're both back together. That's one of the top two-way pairings in this league. Potentially. Really much better than it is right now, but really good as it is. It's a level down from Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, but it's certainly very formidable. So, yeah, the Heat are for real.
Speaking of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, certainly they've put on a couple of outstanding shows ever since George got healthy, and they've been playing together at the same time. But they also keep saying that they are not close yet. They feel like they still have a ways to go before they're totally on the same page. What are you seeing from those two Clippers? They're home to Portland tonight as they continue that development of those two stars together.
Yeah, Doc says they still haven't practiced together. So, while their games mirror each other really nicely, so they really don't need to practice, I'm sure that'll help. They've been beating up on a lot of bad teams, the Clippers, so really want to see what they do here on the road as they make a six-game trip. It starts later this week. They play the Bucks, so Friday night, circle your calendars. And this time, both George and Kawhi should be out there where they weren't when Greek Freak came through Staples in early November.
It's Tony Mejia joining us for NBA Insider for VegasInsider.com. And I'm a Dallas guy, grew up in Dallas during the JMJ and all that. It was really, really fun times back then. But I'll tell you what, man, this Luka Doncic is one of the most fun players I have ever seen, just 20 years old right now. Do you see the Mavericks as a legitimate threat in the West? And if so, do you think, when trade deadline comes around, what do they need to be considered a legitimate threat?
Yeah, I didn't know you were there for the Tony Braxton Mavs.
Yeah, yes, I was.
Very nice. I think that they're a threat to be a spoiler in a first round, but to me, I think they're still running sixth or seventh in the West, and Doncic is going to be just somebody that we get to marvel at as he makes his journey, you know, similar to LeBron, where we saw him lose to Detroit all those years. But yeah, certainly he's for real. And you know, as Porzingis gets more comfortable, you know, he should be a solid number two. They need more depth. They need more shooting. They need a number three to emerge that's more consistent than Tim Hardaway Jr.
On the other end of the spectrum, the Golden State Warriors, they got trashed by the Atlanta Hawks last night. They on the worst record in all of basketball, and we all understand why. You know, their stars are not playing, but is it as simple as, okay, once Curry and Klay eventually get back, that they will once again be, you know, competitive and a potential, you know, top contender in the West? Or has their window completely closed in your mind, Tony?
No, I don't think that it's closed. It's closed for this season, but I think they'll be fine next year. I think they're tanking and they're going to get a nice draft pick. And I think there'll be a resurgence coming up shortly, you know. D'Angelo Russell's very close to coming back from his thumb injury. Kevon Looney came back last night. They got Draymond Green back. The two guys that were out early, Willie Cauley-Stein, and you know, not being able to protect the rim, so they have him back. And Pascal looks good. So right now, I think you'll see them not be the worst team in all of basketball shortly. I think they'll leave that to the Hawks, who beat the brakes off them last night. But between the Hawks and the Knicks, I think they're considerably worse than the Warriors when the Warriors are healthy, even without Curry or Klay.
Has the NBA put the entire preseason China snafu in the rearview mirror? I mean, you're not hearing about it much lately, and I kind of wonder, is that something that the NBA has kind of done? Because for some reason, the NFL can't ever escape Colin Kaepernick. The missteps seem to follow that league forever. Baseball has its own issues that just seem to rear their head over and over again. Yet basketball finally kind of steps in it, and for like 2 weeks, it's all anything anyone can talk about, and then nothing. Right. Nothing for the last, you know, month or so. It's been very quiet. How do they do that?
I think it was overblown so early and such a crisis over a tweet that it was allowed to dissipate some now that the games are going on. And you know, James Harden is China's favorite player, or was. So, you know, the fact that he's off to a good start, I think China likes their rockets again. But, you know, rearview mirror, hopefully, as far as that's concerned.
It's Tony Mejia from VegasInsider.com. There was I saw a tweet come out earlier this morning from Real GM, whatever that is. But they said NBA ratings are down 23% on TNT, 20% on ESPN, 13% on RSN. Is that the Golden State Warriors effect? I mean, their ratings are down 51% in their area. Does them being bad hurt the game of basketball, in your opinion?
I don't. I think it's partially that LeBron's on the West Coast. I think that was a big deal last year. And I also think that the way we consume NBA is different now. People watch on tablets. People watch in all sorts of different ways. So, you know, with football season going on, I think that'll pick up once that ends in January.
So it's the old football is still going on, basketball we'll get to you after Christmas type situation.
No doubt, but yeah. You see that the league is coming because they schedule games like Lakers Mavs on Sunday, and they're staggering games now, taking advantage of the fact that the NFL plays just 2-3-4 o'clock games on the East Coast. So yeah, they're being more aggressive.
I definitely think that that narrative of basketball starts on Christmas is dying a little bit. Sure, they're competing with the NFL, but you're just missing so much if you're not paying attention to these early season games and these storylines that are breaking out early, that I think the NBA is grabbing a larger share of the sports audience than they used to early in the season.
I'm in total agreement, because we have to pay attention to free agency immediately, and then that carries over into the summer. I think it hurt the league that Zion Williamson wasn't able to make his debut. So hopefully middle of this month and, you know, December and going forward, I think we'll be talking NBA a ton.
Yeah, another big story. Tony, as always, appreciate it. Just get a little catch-up here. And Christmas is only, what, three weeks away
or so?
So we will be at the big day before you know it. Thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, Tony Mejia, VegasInsider.com. Always good NBA stuff for us here on Men and Woods. If you want to start dialing right now, we need a contestant to go head-to-head against Woods in Real or Fake. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. We'll take the third caller. We'll play our game here in just a second. I get it. I mean, yeah, the NFL's still king. They're going into the final quarter of the season here. To me, though, I have watched more early season basketball this year than I have in a long time.
Why?
Well, you know, I'm a Lakers fan, and the last 6 years there just wasn't a ton of reason to watch the Lakers. So having two stars like Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the same team just makes it more compelling. But the emergence of Luka Doncic, you know, as a legit 20-year-old potential, you know, monumental superstar coming up in the league, that's intriguing. The Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, having San Diego State guy. Maybe it's just me because it's the local connections and having the Southern California teams be good again. But that's fine. We're, you know, we're here in Southern California.
Yeah.
It just feels like the NBA is a little more relevant than it has been in a few years. Yeah. Nothing against the Warriors. I love the Warriors, too. And, you know, I was following them. But I didn't pick up on the Warriors until the second, you know. All right. You know they're going to be,
you know,
70
gonna be,
wins.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to be the one seed. It didn't feel like there was any interesting competition until you got to the playoffs. Until you really got to the finals, you kind of knew what was going to happen. This year, I have no idea what's going to happen.
True.
Is it going to be Lakers? Is it going to be the Clippers? It, like you said, could Dallas be the dark horse in the West? There's more intrigue this year than there's been in many years. It's not just Warriors-Cavs, the inevitable conclusion to the season every single year. And, yeah, we would, for a couple days, we'd say, oh, maybe it's not going to be Warriors-Cavs. And then it would be at the end of the year.
Fair enough, Benny. I'm not in your position right now.
All right. All right. Fair enough.
I will wait.
Fair enough. You will not wait, though, to play a little real or fake. Let's get to our game.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
I will tell them they can win a $40 Hooters gift certificate to use at any of the San Diego Hooters locations. Real or Fake brought to you by your San Diego Honda dealers. The Happy Honda Day sales event is on now. Visit sdhondadealers.com. We play five rounds.
Where's the gift card from again?
It's Hooters.
Oh, okay.
You can separate real from fake and beat or tie Woodsy. The Hooters gift certificate is yours.
Got it.
And you'll be going up against Anthony in Linda Vista this morning. Woodsy, say hello to Anthony.
Hello, Anthony from my old hood, Linda Vista. What's up?
Okay.
All right, here's what we've got for you today. Mountain West Conference basketball play begins this week.
Oh.
We'll be chatting with head coach Brian Dutcher from the undefeated Aztecs later this morning at 7:35 a.m. But how well do you know the rest of the head coaches in the Mountain West?
So well.
For today's real or fake, I will give you a name. You have to tell me if it's a real Mountain West basketball head coach.
He's grinning like.
Or a fake. In this case,
he loves this.
This will be one of my high school teachers from Torrey Pines.
Really?
Real or fake? Yep.
All right, here we go.
All right, Woodsy, first up, Joe Skinner, real or fake?
Oh, Joe Skinner. He is one of your teachers from Torrey Pines.
He was. Yeah. Math teacher.
Math
very
teacher,
good.
Yep.
Listener to the show as well.
Hey, Joe.
Hello, Mr. Skinner.
Mr. Skinner, sorry.
Anthony, you are first up. Round one, Leon Rice. Head coach or teacher?
Head coach.
Yeah, Boise State head coach. All right, 1-1 after round one. Woodsy, round two. Let's go with Dale Johnson. Head coach or teacher?
Boy, Dale Johnson sounds like the name of a head coach.
Damn it. Geometry teacher was at Torrey Pines, at least when I went there. All right, Anthony, round two. Chance for you to take the lead. Let's go with Ron Morris. Real or fake? Head coach.
Fake.
Yeah, it's another math teacher. Correct. 2-1, Anthony. Woodsy, round three for you. Let's go with Paul Weir. Paul Weir.
Coach.
Head coach of the New Mexico Lobos. All right, Woodsy, stand in it. Anthony, round three. How about Nico Medved? Nico Medved, Anthony.
Let's go with coach.
He is. Colorado State, who the Aztecs will be facing tomorrow in Fort Collins. Anthony, perfect so far. Good job, Woodsy. How about Craig Smith? Coach or teacher?
I'm going to say teacher.
He's the Utah State, still ranked in the top 25 in the country. Anthony, round four, John Robertson. Real or fake?
Sounds like a teacher.
Teacher, he is. The English teacher, junior year at high school. Woodsy, round five, Alan Edwards. Coach or teacher?
Coach.
Wyoming's head coach. And Anthony, final round for you. We go with John Farrell. Coach or teacher?
Coach.
He's actually a PE teacher. He was a coach. He actually was a basketball coach, but not in the Mountain West. Doesn't matter, Anthony, by a score of 4-3.
Hooters, baby.
You are the champion, woo! And you are going to Hooters. $40 gift card. Good at any San Diego Hooters location. Anthony, congratulations. Thanks for playing a little Real or Fake.
That was Real or Fake with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Simple game.
Very simple game.
Yeah, you know, it's the Mountain West. I didn't figure that that'd be your expert category this year. But I am looking forward to talking to Brian Dutcher today at 7:35.
About you and me both.
Team 8-0 on the season.
Dutch on his way to the dentist this morning.
Yes, he will. He's an hour away from the day. He's half an hour away from joining us. He's an hour away from the dentist.
What do you think he's dreading worse? Ben and Wood's appearance or
I hope
dentist?
The dentist.
I hope the dentist.
Why would he dread coming on with us?
I don't know.
Team's 8-0. I mean,
it's true.
This is when you revel in the local interviews.
No hot seat for Brian Dutcher right now.
No. And it this was the year, you know, third season,
yeah,
taking
buddy.
Over for Steve Fisher, coming off a year where they didn't make the NCAA tournament, where if they had had a bad year, and I know they're still early on, but things are trending quite well. If they had had a bad season, I don't think Dutch would lose his job, but you would have started hearing Aztecs fans going, "Yeah, maybe he just doesn't have the same magic as Steve Fisher. You know, is this really, do we need to go out and find someone else at some point here? We need to start thinking about what's in the future." Right now, though, it looks like recruiting, check. I mean, he's put together the transfers that he's brought in. Wow. I mean, better maybe than even some of Steve Fisher's transfers that we ever saw. Certainly a guy like Yanni Wetzel. You know, we haven't seen a guy come in and have an impact like that. And Malachi Flynn on a San Diego State program in a while.
They're feeling it right now, man.
Feeling it. And Brian Dutcher gets a lot of the credit. I mean, when the team's down, whether it's at BYU or against Iowa, you know, they have the fortitude to come back.
Yep.
That's coaching as well. Keep your team focused. I like what I've seen from Dutch. Looking forward to talking to him. That's coming up at 7:35. We'll do some Don't Do This in our 7 o'clock hour as well. Have our biggest fan giveaway. It's all just ahead. Stay tuned. Ben and Woods continues. Half the show still to go right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.